Good morning. And welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible. Bible's on way. And we are excited for another day of grace, another day in which the Lord has made. And knowing that He's long-suffering and not imputing trespasses and sins against us, that's a wonderful feeling, you know. And maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I was talking with a coworker this week, and we were talking about trespassing. And if you get caught trespassing, you're not allowed to go back there no more. I'm like, huh? And I'm looking up trespassings in the Bible. You know, if you trespass against somebody, forgive them and all this stuff. I'm like, wow, He's not imputing trespasses against us. That's a wonderful thing to know that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. And you think about that trespassing, you know, there's laws about that. You know, there's laws in times past and but now and ages to come. But that's just wonderful to know that in the dispensation of grace, we have a message that can forgive all people and has forgiven them all, but you have to apply it and believe that Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. Amen. We're in lesson 15, and what we've been looking at is some contrasts in the Word of God. And like I said before, I'll say it again, my Bible has no contradictions in it. You may think they do. People out there, well, it says this way and it says that. Well, if you look at it, contrasts, they're opposites. And what the prophecy program on earth from Genesis 1:1, God made a division. In Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. He made a distinction between the heaven and earth. And from Genesis 1:2, all the way over to Acts chapter 9, that focus of the prophetic program is here on earth, primarily using the instrument of Israel. And then, but now, where we're at right now, the focus is in the heavenly program. Even though you are here on this earth, your mail, your information to you is about the heavenly purpose. And then in ages to come, God goes back dealing with the earth until the fullness of the dispensation comes in, and where He once again has a heaven and earth, just like the beginning. So that's going to be a wonderful time, but we're in the nasty now and now, if you will, and it seems like it's not getting no better out there. But so we always say, Lord, come quickly. But we know if He don't, we have a message, we have something to give people, and just what a blessing it is to know some truth. You know, everybody's, believe it or not, looking for truth. And sometimes they'll believe a lie before they believe the truth. And there's a lie program going on out there. And who's the father of lies? Satan is. And Lord Jesus Christ knows that. But in this lesson today, what's been the purpose, what's been God's purpose from the foundations of the world. In the prophetic program, God had the plan since the world began, and He's got something kept secret since the world began. Today, Matthew chapter 25, we looked at this passage over and over before, and when Matthew portrays Jesus Christ as who? King. And He's saying some things right here, let's start with verse 31, 25, Matthew 25. There's some things that was written beforehand, and the prophets wrote things down what God told them to write. If God didn't tell them to write, it's not in your Bible. You know that, don't you? So the books of Enoch and the book of all this stuff, people say, what about those books? They may be some great history books. They may be some great learning, but is it in your Bible? From Malachi to Matthew, there's 400 years there of silence that God did not speak audibly. But those books was written. So what does that tell you? They're not God's, not Scripture. So you think about that, that'd be a good message for you guys to think about. 400 years of silence. What are you going to talk about? Something God didn't talk about. Yeah, you sit here for 400 minutes, 40 seconds. But what, you know what I'm saying? So 400 years of silence, and then John the Baptist comes on the scene, and they're like, whoa, I believe there's a lot of Bible-believing people said, he's the one. God prophesied this. Now it's time to see the Messiah coming. And everything's right on God's plan. It's not on yours and I time period. It's on God's time period. So Matthew chapter 25, when we looked at this over and over and over in several lessons, verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all His holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. Those two verses right there are talking about ages to come from even the Lord Jesus Christ's time period. He's talking about over here, it's going to happen over there. Who's the sheep here? That's a little flock of believing remnant, okay? Then he says, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Who's the you there? You got to realize who's he talking to. Context, context, context. From the foundation of the world. This has been God's purpose ever since he had started over way over here, the foundation of the world, to have them in a kingdom. Acts 3:21. Peter's talking to nation Israel here. And whom the heavens must receive into the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. That's exactly what he's talking over there. From the foundations of the world, God had a plan to go. So, in a dispensational view, you understand that God made a distinction between heaven and earth. That's what we're talking about here, right? So go to Matthew chapter 4. So we know the foundation of the world right there, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's when he picked Abraham out, he said, your seed's going to multiply. As to what? The stars of heaven, right? Do you know when they came out of Egypt, that's exactly what they said they was? They was multiply, the stars. So is he continuing to multiply? If he already happened? So what I'm getting at, Abraham's promise was a nation and a land. Okay? And that's what they're going to inherit. And if you didn't understand if you don't understand your Bible dispensationally, you would say, you're that you. I'm going to inherit this land from the foundation of the world. That's what many, many, many people believe, and they're in error. Because he's not talking to you and I here. Matthew chapter 4. Dispensational. We study the Bible dispensationally, don't we? We're dispensationalists if you want to put yourself in a category, if you will. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up in the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. When the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command all these stones to be made bread. Now, you see what he's saying here? Yeah. If thou be. You think he knew?
Yeah.
If thou be. He's just trying to, hey, maybe I'm not. See that? Make these stones be our bread. You know, in ages of ages to come, Revelations, he takes and feeds them. He takes stones and he makes bread, gives them bread. And if you remember back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, and 1 John chapter 2, verses 16, the food, the lust of the eyes, all that stuff, remember? It has to do with food. He's been fasted for 40 days, hungered. Hey, you're hungry. What's that tempting? That flesh, right? But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up on the holy city and sitteth him on the pinnacles of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, there it is again, if thou be. Now he just quoted scriptures. He gave, and he shall give the his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands thou shalt bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Here's the lust of the eye. What'd he do? He take him up on a temple. Look what I can give you. People bow down to that today. You know that? Look what I can do for you. And Jesus said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 8, again, the devil taketh him up into the exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. This is the pride. Look what I'm going to lift you up. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Listen, when the kingdom in Revelation, that kingdom that Satan's offering him becomes God's kingdom. You with me? When it's all said and done over here, God's going to have that kingdom anyway. And he said, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth, and behold, angels came and ministered him. Go to Luke. All this stuff that they tempted him with, you can be tempted the same way, by the way. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in on what? All points, right? But did he give in? No, he did not. Luke chapter 4, this is Luke's account. Some dispensational issues here. And Jesus being full of, verse 1, chapter 4, verse 1, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made of bread. Here's Luke's account, right? If thou be the Son of God, same thing. And Jesus answered, saying, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil taketh him up on a high mountain and show him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment time. Can you imagine that, standing up there and it's just flashing in a moment's time all the kingdoms of the world? Wonder if it got this far. You know, like, hey, 1,000 years, 100 years, these are all the kingdoms and they're going to be yours. And the devil said unto him, all these powers will I give thee, and the glory of them that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Now this is the devil saying this. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him up on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written. So here, look, what was he doing here? He's saying it's written. So who knows the Bible?
He's an expert.
He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands thou shalt bear thee, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Look what Jesus said. Answering, said unto him, It is what? Said. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So all this being said, how is the Lord rebuking him? But he's not saying, no, Satan, these kingdoms are not yours. They're mine. I tell you, I can give you. Does he say that?
No.
Not at all. So the Lord God knowed who and what he was doing. So Matthew chapter 8. The foundations of the world is very, very important in the prophecy program. Matthew 8. Look at these devils here. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 28. And when he was come to the other side of the country of, was it Gergesene? There met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tomb exceeding fiercely, so that no man might pass by the way. And behold, there crieth out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? There's a question there. Do they know who he is? What do they call him?
Jesus.
The Son of what? Art thou hither to come and torment us before the time? These demons knew that there's going to be a time that God's going to condemn them and torment them. But they're looking at like, you're going to torment us before our time? Verse 30. And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away in the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go, and when thou came out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept the field and went their ways into the city and told everything that they was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. I mean, this man just freed away from the devils. King James don't use demons. They say devils. That's what they are. And they besought them, you leave. Reckon they was mad because their herd of swine left? They're in all the sauces and bacon. But the thing is, what about this? Where did they go? They went into the what? That's why I mentioned this in times past about the gap fact. God flooded the universe. You know, the universe is shaped like this book. And you fill it up, everything was gone except these type of devils. Satan, that water didn't hurt them. The flood, same way. How is God going to destroy the earth the next time? Fire. You're not going to escape it. at all. Mark chapter 5. Same thing we're looking here. Same account. Different writer. Mark 5. Verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gergesenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately they met him out of the tombs of a man with an unclean spirit. It's almost like walking into a haunted house, ain't it? You don't know what's going to come out. And when it comes out, it's coming to scare you and get you, run you away. Who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. He's in torment, isn't he? And when he saw Jesus far off, he ran and worshiped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." He knowed who he was, but is God going to torment these people? Is God going to torment you? For he had said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And when he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered and saying, "My name is what? Legions, which we are. So if you want to know what the word legion means, many. Legions of angels. Legion of devils. They came out with a movie called Legion. And he was the devil. You know, that type of thing. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. They're running to hide. They get out into the sea. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 26. Same account, Luke's account. And they arrived in the country of the Gergesenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, and neither abroad in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before them, and with a loud voice saith, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I beseech thee, torment me not." If he only knew who he was, he's not going to torment him. He's going to release him. And he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and feathers, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is thy name?" He said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. How many was in that other guy?
Many.
2,000. Yeah, that's a lot. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the what? The deep. What do you know about the deep? Where's the deep at? Underneath us. The deep. Once again, the universe flooded. God separated firmament. You got firmament above us and you got it below us. That's water. That deep out there, who's chained in the darkness, the bits? People that probably was, when they rebelled against God, they've been chained since the beginning. That's out there. And he says, where was that? The deep. And there was there a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that they would suffer them to enter into them. And he said, suffer them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And when they had fled saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they were out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in the right mind, and they were afraid. And they also which saw it told them what it was means that he was possessed of the devils and was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gergesenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear and went up into the ship and returned back again. Every time he done something, what did they do? We want you to leave.
Except for the person that he sent the legions out of.
Yeah, and he's there now in the right mind. Clothed. And they're like, we got an old saying down there, we don't lock up crazy. We give her sweet tea and let her walk across the porch. You know, years ago, you know, we had mental institutes, right? You know, you put crazy people in there. Now there were. Yeah. And you wonder about these people and they're going crazy and stuff like that. They're not in the right mind. There's something wrong out here. But that's where your spirit is. They can still hear who Jesus Christ is. You know what I mean? And I'm not suggesting that you run up to them and say, you know, get these far hints out here. In the name of Jesus, flee. You know, you may get hurt this day and time. But the thing right here is, I like what it said, would not command them to go out into the deep. Brother Ray Watson once shared this with me, that what is water made up with? What is it? How many parts hydrogen? How many parts oxygen? Okay. You take oxygen out of that water, that leaves what? Didn't they make hydrogen bombs? Didn't the Zeppelin and the airships in the past was hydrogen? You know, they went around the world. Those was probably one of the safest things, air travel, you could be in, what I was told. But what I'm getting at, this lake of fire down below the deep, it's out there. You pull that oxygen out of there, that leaves hydrogen, it's going to burn forever. That's the deep. You with me? They know that's coming. That's why you're here to torment us before our time. What's the purpose of prophecy? Since the foundation of the world, he's going to give his kingdom to his children over here. Who's the God of the world? Who's the Prince of Power of the Air? He's fighting that. And to understand that he could sit up there and look at the Lord Jesus Christ, if thou be the Son of God, and give him the kingdoms of the world. I don't know if y'all ever thought about that or not. How could he do that?
Adam handed it over.
He gave him the deed. And the Lord Jesus Christ has not refuted that at all. But I know if is a big word, right? We always say it's like a hinge on the door. If you do this, but if you don't, if you do this. If the Lord bowed down and said, okay, I want this kingdom here, and gave him to the Lord Jesus Christ, what's above that? Prince of powers and in heavenly places. Satan would still been above him. He didn't mind. So that's why it's important to note about the dispensation of truth and the mystery program. Go to be turning to Ephesians chapter 1. The fact that now what's been exposed, the fact that something's different, and this is why Satan hates this message. He hates us that preaches it. It hates that you're studying it. It hates that you believe it. And he'll do anything and everything he can. And he's in the mystery program too, by the way. If God's in the mystery program, you don't think Satan's in the mystery program? So that leaves one more thing that would make you not think this is true. What is that? If Satan's, you got God's word, Satan's word, well, whose else word you got? Yes. Your mind, your human viewpoint will deny this. Satan's just sitting back, hey, that's awesome. You're doing exactly what you should be doing. That's what entered in the garden, that human viewpoint, if God hath God not said. They totally deny the word of God. You know anybody like that? Yeah. So if you deny the word of God, you ain't got no authority. You ain't got no foundation. So Satan is the prince of power of the air. He shows God this world. And what this mystery program is, the contrast to the foundation of the world, is that God's purpose from the before the foundations of the world, he had this in mind. I tell people all the time, you're a very special, peculiar type of people. And God had this body of Christ in mind before he had what we just talked about in mind. It's not reversed. He had this kept secret before he decided to have this earth the way it is now, because it was flooded. Satan knows what, when soon as God separated firmament, where does Satan come? You're going down there to create a man. I'm going down there too. I'm going to corrupt your seed line. And he's been doing it ever since. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and earthly places in Christ. Where does it say? Heavenly places. That focus is where? According as he hath chosen us in him since the foundation of the world. Or from the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Chapter 3. You see where this is at? Before the foundation. Those words mean something. You guys know that far more than I would ever know. That's what we should, words mean what they say and say what they mean. Chapter 3, Ephesians. For this call I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of grace of God which is given to me to you, word. It's not if they word heard, they did hear. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Praise God, hallelujah. We got some books that explain to us that what the mystery of Christ is. And we can understand. which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto the holy prophets and the prophets by the Spirit. What does Romans 16:25 says? Establish ye according to my God, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to what? The revelation of mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. This is no secret no more. That the Gentiles, and the NLV adds with Israel there, and it ain't got nothing to do with Israel, shall be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. What gospel? The gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ. It's a totally different gospel. Did Israel have a gospel? Wherefore, thou was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Paul says that according to the gift of the grace of God given to me. You know what you can call him? The grace giver. Now, God, Jesus Christ, through Paul, is a grace giver. What did God, through Jesus Christ, Moses was? Who was he? The law giver. So you have law and grace. And to me, who am less than least of all the saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid, who created all things, this is not in NIV either, of all things by who? Jesus Christ. To why? What intent? What would this purpose be? To the intent that now, until the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose, which was purpose in Christ Jesus our Lord. Everything about that mystery program was put in Jesus Christ and about Jesus Christ and what he's going to do. All these other lessons we had, the 14 before that, with the contrast between prophecy program and mystery program, it has to do with Jesus Christ. And the whole theme of your Bible is about a throne. Who is going to sit on a throne with authority? Satan's trying to do it. Jesus doing it. And where's Jesus Christ at today? Sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's not down here on this earth yet, sitting on the kingdom. But this program right here, that you know, the intent that he's showing unto all principality and powers in heavenly places, we know there's powers up there and governments. And he's showing, he's making us, the manifold wisdom of God, he's using us to show those people up there what God is doing. And they're looking at you like worm dirt, like that man down there is doing what? He's using you to do what? And we have no idea the impact we have throughout this universe. 2 Timothy. There's some great truths in there that you won't find anywhere else. I've challenged you. I've challenged the people that's listening. Find me where in time past that Jesus Christ is going to be ahead of a body. We've done went over these things. Where did I say go? 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 2. Oh, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 1. Verse 7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God." What's the power of God? The preaching of the cross is what? The power of God. who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause, what cause is that? I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. You know, Paul, of all the things he went through, all the things he did before he was struck down the road to Damascus, he thought he was doing the right thing. He's a Pharisee of Pharisees. He profited in that Jewish religion. He was moving up in that political world. He's not only a Jew that had the inheritance, according to that tribe of Benjamin, he was also a Roman citizen. Something very, very interesting there, that he had dual citizenship. And God used him as our apostle. And he says, for I know whom I believe. How about you? How about us? You know, can we say, I know whom I believe? I do. I may not look at some time, I may not act at some time, but I know whom I believe, and he is faithful to preserve me for the heavenly purpose out there. So when you think about the contrast, once again, prophecy, this has been the God's purpose from the foundation of the world. Mystery, heavenly, this has been God's purpose from before the foundation of the world. Two opposite, two contrasts. And what joy it is to know that we're not condemned under a law program, amen? We're saved by the grace of God. And for whom has saved us, he can save you too. He can save a violent devil that's possessed. And we may look at people these days and look back, you're possessed. You know, you're the devil. I'm not telling you to look at your spouse that way. I'm just saying. But the thing is, this is truth out there that can save a lost and dying world. And when you get outside these doors and you drive down that highway, you don't know what to expect anymore. The days that you feel comfortable sometimes is a day that you best know where you're spending eternity, because it can get evil out there. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Any thoughts or comments?